Blog Talk Radio.
Truly I was glad when they said unto me, Oh, let us go into the house of the Lord. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. He hath made us, and not we ourselves. And we know that it's in him we live. In him we move, and in him we have our being. And truly, it's a day and a time that we need to prove all things in perspective, that God is a God of every stage, and of every age, and he is eternal. That's why he is not as man that he should not tell the truth. He is not as man that he should not keep his word. For he said that heaven and earth, are you listening? Heaven and earth will pass away, but his word, his promise, his promises will forever stand. And to those who trust in him, he is a God of supernatural capacity and miraculous ability. And he will do that which is impossible when we prove him. When you prove something, what do? You validate. You circumspect. You approve. You stand. You believe. You defend. Because you know that God is not slack concerning the fulfillment of his promises to they that love him. No matter where you are in this world, on all seven continents, know that God is yet God. He is omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent. That's right. That means when we say omnipotent, means all-powerful. He cannot be challenged. Omnipresent at every place, at every time. Omniscient means he's all-knowing. And I want you, wherever you are, whoever you are, whatever phase in your life you're at, whether you're at the crossroads of making some definite decisions, whether you're at the end of the rope, that rope has gotten so unbearable to the point you feel as though it's no sense in hanging on. I don't care if you're at the point in your life where you're saying that you know I've accomplished something, but there's something missing. Hold it. Drop whatever it is you're doing. It's time for you to reconnect back to the very powers of heaven, the very place and space of your origin. God the Father, God the Almighty, for it is he that had made us and not we ourselves. We were his spirit children before we were spoken into natural existence. That's right. See, all things begin in the spirit concept, in the spirit mind, which means it has no physical embodiment. We were his children through the spirit realm. That's right. We existed in spirit form. We had no parchment or encasement in a physical shroud or in a physical body. But we were. We were connected to him. That's why he knows us by name. Even predestinated what our names would be when we came upon the planetary domain of earth. God knew us beforehand, and he knows us now. It's time for you to get back into focus and to drop those things, release those things that are holding you bound, holding you captive, so that you can receive the miracles of Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. Time. It's time to do it now. To those of you who have physical conditions in your body, it's time for you to experience the presence of Jehovah Rapha. God is our healer. It's time for you, if you're at that point in your life where you don't know where you're going, whether you're a Christian or you're just straddling the fence and you don't know where to turn, it's time for you to run. That's right, to Jehovah. You see, God is our banner. That's right. Jehovah Tiskenu, God our righteousness, so that you can come into the fold. That's right, where the angels of God will mark your goalposts, mark you, with the blood of the Lamb. And as the songwriter said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. He said, when I see the blood, I'll pass right over you. Destruction will pass right over you. Wickedness will pass right over you. Hard times will pass right over you because nothing can stand against the blood of the Lamb. Behold the Lamb of God. What? That taketh away the sins of the world. So let me tell you something. It's time for you to come back to where you belong. The struggles, the frustration, the physical ailments that have accompanied the frustration, the sorrow, the heartbreaks, the heartache, the anger, the wrath, the confusion, the monotony. It's time for those places to be broken down in your life. That's why the songwriter said, God said, all your high places, I'll bring down. All your high places, I'll bring down. God said, all your high places, I'll bring down. I'll bring down. Do you know it today that God said it and he means it? All those high places that kept you captive, that kept you boxed in. He said, I'll bring down. All those high places, I'll bring down. God said in his word, he's waiting. He's watching over his word to perform. And he said, all those high places, I'll bring down. I'll bring down. It's time for those walls of Jericho. What is your wall of Jericho today? Is it financial lack? Is it poverty? Is it, hallelujah, I feel the presence of the Lord. Is it destitution? Is it sorrow? Is it physical ailments? Is it psychologically? Is it something that's keeping you chained down where you can't reach out and touch the very hem of his garment? Is it relationships that are just keeping you baffled, keeping you in a sense of miscombobulation? Is it your household? There seems to be so much confusion there. Is it your workplace? Is it your place in your heart that you have unforgiveness embedded within you? Because as King David said, if I regard iniquity within my heart, God will not hear me. Whatever. That wall of Jericho, that high place within your life. Maybe it's actually you're facing opposition from an outside source. Know that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. The miracles are going to occur. At this moment, as we're about to go forth in prayer, and we're going to touch the hem of Jesus' garment. Not in a physical aspect of speaking, but in the spiritual aspect of speaking. We're going to touch the very throne of heaven itself. Not through our flesh, but through our spirit man. And we're going to say, hallelujah, Father God. We thank you. We love you. We acknowledge you. We praise you. We extol thee, O God. For being God and beside you, there is none other. God, your people. And all kindreds, all belief systems are coming to you now, facing the throne, looking up, asking that you hear our prayers, that you hear our going forth, that you release the very powers of heaven into our bodies, into our minds, into our spirits, into our circumstances, into our situations. Amidst of our deprivations, and give us that blessed constellation to know that you've worked out the issues, the problems, the very epitome of those walls, those petitions that were trying to break us down. and that you've destroyed the hand of the enemy and the divine favor. Divine favor. This is the word of knowledge. Divine favor. Blow into each and every one under the sound of my voice. That you will open up the floodgates of heaven and pour us out blessings, whether those blessings are finances to pay our debts, because, Lord, you know in this world, money answers all things. We need the answer. We need the money. And we know that the wealth pours from heaven and the prosperity of Jesus Christ overwhelms and overcomes us. Every situation, every debt, every amount that's owed, that you be Jehovah Jireh and be the God of the plenitude, because you are the God of the multitude. And Father God, to those who have physical afflictions and psychological afflictions, that you would be Jehovah Rapha, that you would be God, our healer. But we know that your Son, our Savior, our Messiah, was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon his shoulders, by whose stripes we were healed. And Father God, for those who are seeking salvation, who may have gotten lost along the way, who had a church hurt experience, that were downgraded by those who are practicing gay religiosity and occultism that actually cause your children to fall by the wayside and to go astray. We're seeking revival, revival into the heart, revival into the spirit. That's right. And that the power of Jehovah Nissi, God our banner, that you would apply the blood of Jesus upon them and seal them with the seal of redemption. And Father God, even so, that there be Jehovah Nissi, your presence, that you become their righteousness through Jesus Christ. And God, I'm asking that every head that's bowed down be lifted up and know that their redemption draweth nigh, and that their day of deliverance, their oracle of receiving bountiful miracles, has come. And to those who don't know you, allow us to be the conduit, the connectivity piece that brings men back to the fold, or introduces men who have never heard that there is a Savior of the world who looks beyond all of our faults and sees our needs, and he will redeem them to all that call upon his name. And Father God, we thank you for the miracles that have been unleashed from heaven, for you hearing our voices, for you answering our prayers, as our tempers have gone up as a sweet-smelling savor before the heavenly throne. In thy blessed Son, Jesus Christ's name, Lord, we just want to say hallelujah. Glory to your name. Glorious excelsior, God, we praise you the more. We thank you. We magnify you and glorify you exceedingly. In thy blessed Son, Jesus Christ's name, amen. It's sealed. That's right. Amen. When we pray and we know, and holding confidence that God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him, we are going to receive the bountiful miracles of heaven. I feel that anointing, that some money, that's right, that has been hidden or seen inattainable to us, who have been waiting through the channels of time, through the frustration and aggravation, God is going to send those miracle finances to us immediately and expeditiously. Even we're going to see debts erased. That's like debts that have held so many captives. Those debts are going to diminish into nothingness. That's like the divine favor of God's word, and through the power of his blessed anointing, and through the voice of obedience and submission, we receive the greatness of the kingdom of heaven. That's right. And praise God for his mercy. And no, let us be mindful to praise God, not our good name that gave us divine favor to receive this wealth, to receive this prosperity, to receive this divine favor. It's the hand of God, and you better testify. And I know I am, and you better share the experience of your miracles with others so that they can receive the miracles. These things are not just for us to absorb and benefit from. It's for others in like manner, for us to be that living, walking, talking, doing testimony to touch the lives of others. And I just can't wait. This is a miracle week. This is a week of divine miracles and divine favor. And we just praise God for it. We went through a lot, some of us, to get to it, but praise God. He brought us up. He brought us out. And on top of it, he kept us. Now, we're that testimony. What are we going to do with it? Are we going to be like that? Those 9 lepers, remember Jesus healed the 10 lepers? Oh, come on now. And we need a witness here. That's right. We need a rubber stamp here. 10 lepers came to our Messiah, our Savior, and asked to be healed. What happened? The 9 got healed, and they went about their business and had a happy life. Only one came back from the fold. I want to be that one. Say, Lord, I'm going to be that one. Say it. I'm going to be that one that comes back and says, thank you, Lord, and be able to heal somebody else. See, God give us wealth and financial prosperity, but we can touch and help others. That's right. Not for us to sit up and talk about all that we have. No, know where he brought us from. That's right. And what he has done for us. And this is what we do. That's right. You're going to hear some good news this week. Something has been hovering over you. I don't know who this is for, but I know me standing in the wings as well. You're going to hear something about a debt that has hung its head over your head and perplexed you and caused you worry, caused you a lot of digestive tract problems. You know something? That word is going to come as confirmation that everything is settled and all is well. And you need to praise God. Pray, let us all praise God and say, Lord, it's your hand. It wasn't my voice of command, but it was your hand that made the miracles happen. And just know, God wants us to acknowledge and know that miracles, when we get these breakthroughs and these miraculous interventions, it's him. It's not us. And it's not we ourselves. We deserve no honor. We deserve no recognition. All honor, glory, and power belongs to him. And I just can't wait to just get these miracle testimonies. Please be sure to share your testimonies with me. Inbox me at the Blog Talk Radio Network. That's right, the Wisdom Alliance Network. Be sure to inbox me so I can share your testimonies. If you're a little bit shy to come on the airwaves and share your testimony, don't worry. I'll be glad to share your testimony along with mine. That's right, because, see, Peter overcame the devil by the words of his testimony and the blood of the Lamb. That's right, so we understand that we've got to give recognition to whom it is duly, definitely, honorable and befitting to. Let us now go to the word of God. You know, man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And we need to go to get God's word. That's right, desserts are wonderful. That's right. The hors d'oeuvres are fantastic. That's right. The beverages are wonderful. The libation is extensive. But when it comes down, you know, the grains are well needed. That's right. The vegetables are so crucial to balance, harmony, and good health. But when it comes down to the crux of things, we got to have the meat of the word. We got to get off that milk. Milk is a good thing in some aspects. If you look at it, it can do its part, but you've got to have the protein, the word of God, the instructional. The logos is the instructional word of God. The rhema is the very anointed compository of the word that causes the quickening, the hands to be raised, and sometimes the foot begins to move, and then the movements of the body begin to correlate and correspond with what's being said. But there comes a time you got to get the logos, the meat of the word, so that you will be in that rightful position to receive the rhema, the quickening component, and the other things will fall well and to command. So we're going to pick up where we left off in the 3rd chapter of the book of Ecclesiastes, the book of the preacher. That's what I would call the book of sound doctrine and instruction as it relates to mankind. That's right. Many people have said, well, the book of Ecclesiastes is not spiritual. It doesn't give people a reason to really jump up and rejoice. No, it gives you a foundation piece to clear your head, to cause sobriety to set in. That's what Ecclesiastes was made for. It is a book of common sense and instruction, taking the very elements of life and reflecting its spiritual message. This is the concept that we get. And I gave you my topic last week. Does anyone know really, or does anyone really know what time it is? I talked about the group Chicago, how they had that song, a secular song that talked about the various encounters that this man had going down the street. First, there was a man who seemed to be lost, and there was a very attractive lady who had an expensive timepiece, and the timepiece stopped working, and she wanted to know what time it was. And then the songwriter, who was the traveler, the sojourner, said that, you know what, does anyone really know what time it is? Are you looking at the sense of interval measurement? and saying this is the time by looking at the standardized use of analog. Analog, we're talking about the long facets of time, or looking at digital time. That's right, when it's time to the microcosmic second. Does anyone really know what time is? No, we go by what man has stated. But see, what man says and what God says is totally unharmonious oftentimes. Why? Because, see, man uses his reasoning, his own personal logic, to try to make sense of things that just don't make sense. That's right. When the word of God tells us that a day with the Lord is as a thousand years, and a thousand years is as one day. That's right. I let you know that God doesn't look at time. He looks at season. That's right. That's the one time to get you to the component of season. Many of us, we planted so many seeds. Now, it's harvest time for us. Some people have just began to plant, so their harvesting time, their season will come, but will come later. But to those of us who have been planting and planting and waiting for the seeds to come up, and now the seeds have come up, it's time for the harvest. We have to respect God's standard placement of time. He uses seasons, dispensations to do things. Like some of you may be in a dispensation to receive physical healing, the fullness. You begin to mend, but I mean the miraculous intervention of your healing is going to fully manifest. This is your season. For those who have had financial difficulties and breakdowns, that's why you've come, as I've come, to the season of great financial wealth and prosperity. That's right. This is our season. You can't confuse seasons. You have to look at the characteristics of your life, your experience, and garner from God through the knowledge of the Holy Spirit what season it is for you at that appointed time. And to those of you who may already have your finances in balance, that's right, and things that make your body is physically fit and well, you may have had a bad time around with your marriage, and you don't need finances. It's not the season for your financial prosperity. That's not the problem. You don't need physical healing. There's nothing wrong with you physically. You know, you don't need psychological healing because you don't have an emotional problem. You're just in a sense of emotional turmoil because that marriage in which you've embedded your life and your investment in seems to be crumbling. Well, this is the season for you to see the revitalization of God's hand in your marriage. That's your season. That's right. And to those of you who may have a wonderful marriage, a typically healthy body, and a sound mind, that's right, and have everything intact and in tandem, saying, I don't need any more finances. My finances are excellent. My body, I'm in excellent health. My marriage is excellent. It's wonderful. You may be in a season where that you're trying to mend from what has been going on and transpiring in your workplace. That's why they have frustrated you from time to time because you feel a sense of separation and a sense of opposition at that place. So this is your time of harvest. This is your manna from on high season to receive restoration at your workplace. For those of you who are blessed and saying, my work environment is excellent. I love my supervisor, my coworkers. We get along. A-OK. My body is physically fit and excellent. That's right. My marriage is wonderful. That's right. My finances are excellent. I don't need any of those things. But I just noticed that when I try to pray and talk to God, I feel so empty. You may be your manna from on high, your season may be that you need to get spiritual restoration. Everything else in your life is awesome, but you don't have that spiritual connectivity. This is your time to be revived, revived in the spiritual aspect of things. And to those, I know I'm putting it on pretty heavy, but I want you to keep up with me. I want you to see the message that's coming out this afternoon. Those of you who may say, my spiritual life is wonderful. My marriage life is excellent. That's right. My finances, excellent. My health is excellent. My mindset is excellent. You know, my physical state of health is excellent. However, I don't feel very, very fulfilled when it comes to my children. My children and I, our relationship has really been badgered. And I feel that there's something that needs to be done. I've been praying about it, and things haven't happened. You may be in the season. This may be your manna from on high moment. That's right. Your season of breakthrough to be reconnected back with your children, to get that communications back, that love back. That's right. So for those of you who may say, listen, My children and I, we love each other. And just like they were when they were small, my job, my work location is excellent. That's right. I get along fine with everybody there. You know, my marriage, my relationship is awesome. You know, my physical health is awesome. My psychological health is awesome. My finances are awesome. Everything is well in harmony and in balance, but I'm not pleased with where I go in our fellowship, and I'm not getting the word of God, and I need to get into the word. I need to be inspired to get in the word. I need that instruction. That's why you're here, right here, with the Wisdom Alliance Network. It's your stepping stone to help you to find where you need to connect and get the power of God moving in your life through his word. So we all are in a season. That's why I broke these things down to let you see. We're all in a season of expectancy. We're all pregnant with the promise of God. It's time for that pregnancy to produce a real miracle. And I'm waiting on mine so I can shout the victory with you and rejoice with you. So make sure you inbox me the wonderful things that happen this week. We declare this week as the week of miracles, of supernatural occurrences. And I can't wait to come back next Sunday and share with you the miracle after miracle that God has done with me. Now listen, let's go to the third chapter of the book of Ecclesiastes. We're going to pick up to the, let's go back, A Time to Lose. Let's go to the sixth verse. A time to get and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. What is the author saying here? Well, I'm going to tell you what Solomon is saying. Solomon is saying to us simply, there comes a time that you have to get. When you get something, you attain something. I mean, it's a season in your life. Look at time as being a season, okay? If you were to put in parentheses and instead of using the word time, we're not taking away from the word of God. We're merely accentuating so that you can get a clarative understanding. Now, some people say, if I'm not a Bible scholar and I haven't, you know, been in deep into eschatology, I can't relate to it. Well, I have been blessed to be in that area, so I'm going to be able to break it down to you and for you so that you can get a more clarity picture. He's saying a time or a season to get. You know, when you're young, you work while it's day, because when night cometh, no man laboreth. And I know that many of you said you're thinking about, well, work while it's out there, because it comes a time, you know, that the night time will not produce anything. What he's saying is a time to get. When you're young, when you're apt to think, your strength, your physical inertia is there. You know, that's the time to get. That's right, because it's going to come a season in your life where you know what you're going to begin to elevate in years. Your mindset is going to change. Your perspective on life is going to change, and you'll want to do things a lot differently and a time to lose. What does that mean? It's time for time to attain things, and sometimes when you don't see the fluidity or the affinity of things flourishing in your life, that you may have been doing things that you have been connecting with and have not been very procreated as a way of reproducing itself, it comes a time that you have to let those things go, even if it means you have to change the way you think and change the way that you do. There comes that time that you just have to release certain things. You know, there was a secular song that says, if you love somebody, if you love someone, sometimes you have to set them free. And this is what that means. Sometimes you get, you attain, and there comes a time you got to let go of what you attempted to retain. Then there comes a time to keep and a time to cast away. Some things we keep on as memories. I know nostalgia is the more formative term that we use. All those memories of childhood, of our teenage years, and, you know, in our younger days, that many of us like to reflect back on. We look at those photo albums, or we look at those old sometimes past. Well, you know, those things are nice to consider at some point in time, but there comes a season. You can't expect the blessings of God in the here and now if you keep on reflecting back what went on in the past, because that means you're regressing. You're becoming as Lot's wife. That's why, you know, when she began to look back and start looking back at what she had back in the city of Sodom and Gomorrah, that's when she turned to a pillar of salt. So that means that sometimes we have to check ourselves, and we've got to stop looking at time's past and start pressing toward the forwardness and the experience, the very height, depth and breadth of God. That means it's a time to let go or cast away. And I hear some people talk about the good old days, and when I speak to some, they say about how good the time was. But then I speak to others and say, well, those times weren't so good because I remember, you know, the civil rights movement. I remember how the bitterness of the Jim Crow laws was at that time in the old South. And then some people have a totally different take on the situation. This is why we have to rightfully divide what's being said. Because at times you have to let those things go, because if you start absorbing these things, you will become castrated, you will become bitter, you will become an asinine and negative person. So that means if it comes a time you have to cast it away. Seventh verse says, a time to rend and a time to sow. What do you say? A time or a season to rend. That means tear things up. Some things you've got to tear apart. That's right. You've got to just reduce it down to the LCD, as I always say, to the least common denominator. You've got to tear things up. And a time to sow. Some things are worth mending. That's right, because especially if you were the offender, but you were offended by the person, and this person doesn't want to delegate to come back the right way. And what sometimes you have to do, you have to just rend that friendship. That's why you have to release it, because this is your season. You can't get distracted. You cannot become his Lot's wife and start looking back. So when you rend something, you got to tear it up. And when you tear it up, you got to shred it. And only it's not enough just to shred it, you got to dispose of what you shred, okay? And then sometimes if we were on the reciprocating end where we were the offenders, we got to sow, we got to mend some things. We need to do some apologizing. Sometimes we got to lay our gifts at the altar and ask for forgiveness from that person if we were the offenders. That's right. See, if you were offended, you got to forgive. And when you forgive, you're tearing all of that negativity apart. You know, none of these negative forces have any empowerment over you in your life when you walk in a spirit of forgiveness. Because when you walk in a spirit of forgiveness, you're walking in a spirit of love. And love, the love of God, meaning through you, is the strongest force in this universe. Nothing can challenge that, because God is love. And one thing the devil don't like, he don't like the love. No, he can't take the love. Negativity can't take the love. That's right. Brokenheartedness can't take the love. Anger, resentment can't take the love. So the love of God is what makes all things happen. He says, a time to keep silence and a time to speak. It comes a time that some people sometimes want to act up and act out on you. A kind word, a soft word turneth away much wrath. So now you got to speak a soft word and then speak a loud voice in your spirit, asking God for his amazing grace to come by, because if not, you'll turn around and it's the old profound thing, you'll want to catch a case. That's right. And the thing is that it's not worth it. Don't give your good energy out to change for negativity from some people, because all the enemy wants, he can't get no action out of you. He wants a reaction. Can you say amen? So what you've got to do is to know who you are in God and how you're posture and position so that God gets the glory out of you. So that means you have to sometimes keep silent. Just look at people. That's right. A soft answer turns away much rest. Sometimes the less you say, my mother used to say that. She said, because you're a person, you're very fervent when you express yourself. She said, but let me tell you something. She said, sometimes you just have to just be quiet and just don't say so much. And I said, but why are you trying to tell me to be quiet? But as I mature in years, I see what she meant. It keeps you out of trouble with God. Because when you put something negative out there, oh, negativity is coming back multiplied. So when you keep silent and say, Lord, I'm holding my peace, so you don't hold your peace. And when you hold your peace, you know what? I'm fighting your battle because you kept your mouth shut. So you do that, and you come out on the winning end every time. And a time to speak. There comes a time when a person has done things, they may not even be acknowledging of it. They don't even know, because of the cultural barriers, because of their previous associations. And there comes a time you just got to pull them aside, not publicly humiliate them or denigrate them, but pull them aside and let them know, you know something? This is in error. You may not know that this is offensive in my culture, but let me tell you something. It is. Or you may tell a person who may not be acknowledging. They may have some psychological miscombobulations where they don't quite creatively so understand things, and their ability to utilize sensible logic may be compromised. You have to take them in the spirit of loving kindness and instruct them and get them a false rebuke and say, don't do that. If you want to gain recognition, if you want to gain a good name, watch what you say, and even so watch what you do. Eighth verse, a time to love, a season to love. It comes a time when we all have to exercise love. See, love comes in two variations. They have love, they can have love for you, and they'll give it to you. It will not benefit you at all. But see, charity encompasses love in motion. It means that I am exonerating and exemplifying love. That's right, and it's working. When I touch you, it's as though the hand of God is guiding me as that present compass on how to administer to your needs. It comes a time to love. That's right, to express love. Sometimes some people are so mean, so asinine, so bitter. It's because they've never been given love. They don't know how to be able to accept being loved because they've never come in a way that's too, you know, administering. They may feel as though you want something out of them. You're trying to hurt them. So it comes a time that you have to express love. I mean, the compassion, the caring. That's right. Sometimes tough love, even when needful and necessary, and a time to hate. Okay, I know many of you are saying it's controversy. You're not supposed to hate. No, you're not. Hate means appall. No, you can't hate people. That is a sin before God because what? It is definitely an antonym. That's right. You get antonym, it's anti-God. When you walk in hatred and malice, you are not pleasing God because God is love and God so loved the world. So what we have to do is say a time to hate. No, it means abhor, not people. The mannerism of which people are being victimized by the enemy to work through others is what you hate. You hate unrighteousness. I don't have to pay for the person that's acting unrighteous, but I hate the unrighteousness because I know you're feeling the wrath and the anger of God. And the wrath of God cometh upon the children of disobedience. For you hate, you abhor wickedness. You abhor gossip. You abhor people that go around digging ditches and talking negative, trying to throw other people off and cause them hurt, harm, and danger. You deplore their actions. When you hate something, you abhor and you deplore and you do something about it. You identify the source of the wickedness and you present it to that person. And once you've presented it to them, you've done your part. But sometimes you have to speak up and speak out. You have to protest unrightful deeds and unrightful commissions. He says, a time of war. Now, see, the scripture tells us that the kingdom of heaven suffered violence and the violence taken by force. It tells us how you got to go to war in your spirit. Some things you got to say, the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. Some people go to talking, you got to cast that spirit out of them and plead the blood of Jesus. That's why circumstances come to you that's negative all at once. You got to say, I plead the blood of Jesus. This is a spiritual attack against me. Because now, for me, sometimes try to coerce spiritual attack. It tries to get into the very epitome of your being to work against you. So you got to take the name of Jesus with you everywhere. And that comes a time when you have to war. That's right. The weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal, but they're mighty through God for the pulling down of strongholds. That's right. We hold every thought into the captivity of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. That's right. And sometimes you just have to rebuke and tear down. Because the kingdom of heaven suffered violence. That's right. When Satan was cast down, he would say, Lucifer, and see the violence taken by force. So there comes a time you've got some war in the spirit. That's why the song says, I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord. That's what we are. And a time for peace. It comes a time where you know what God allows you to season. See, look at time and put a circle around and say season, a season of peace. Oh, I thank you, God, that you answered my prayer. I thank you, God, that you worked the situation out. Now, because the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will rule my mind and my heart. And so it comes a time when you lay the weapons down. You can't war all the time. You run out of ammunition. You burn up and you burn out. You can't have peace all the time. That's why you get sad, you get lazy and unconditioned. You think about the men, the mighty men and women in the military, where they're in the infantry perspective of things, where they're actually using battalion and artillery to defend, to fight, to wage and to conquer. They have to be physically fit, sound in mind, apt to act as well as to react and be able to dodge the various arsenals that the enemy has implanted on the battlefield. So this is why we have to have the balancing of the seasons. That's right. that, you know, they couldn't be in battle mode all the time. They would be burned out. They would have to have an interval, a time of peace. That's right, so they could actually go back into training and become a civilian-like individual again. Now, the ninth verse says, what profit has he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? I mean, he's saying, what sense does it make if you constantly are doing the same thing, getting the same result? It doesn't make sense. 10th verse, I have seen the travail which God has given to some sons of men to be exercised in. He's saying, so what Solomon is saying, King Solomon is saying, I have seen the very things that God allowed to happen to people so that they could actually benefit from their experience. But instead of them benefiting from their experience, what did they do? He had made everything beautiful in his time. I mean, God creates everything for a reason. Everything that we see in nature, the trees, the birds, everything God created for a balanced purpose. All this earth couldn't be trees because where would there be water and everything? Now, all the earth couldn't be a sea and water because where would there be a boundary domain? That's why you have to have a balance of all things. This is what happens to a lot of people that get into vain religiosity. They're unbalanced. That's the reason why they go around here with these strange behaviors and they begin to facilitate the cultic type practices. So he's saying that so that the world is set in their hearts so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. And he said God has everything set up because he's omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent so that everything serves a purpose in divine order. And this is the reason why, and I'm not trying to bring anybody down, but I have to speak the truth. You know, when we talk about the sins of the flesh, there's sins through the mind, sins through flesh reaction, and there's sins through the flesh. Okay, we know that fornication is not, God isn't pleased with those who engage in that behavior because there's no covenant present. God does not favor those who commit adultery, you know, to break the covenant. But to those who practice immorality of homosexuality and lesbianism, we're fair and we're open, but nevertheless, this is an error against the nature of God. See, God structured everything into unilateral, universal harmony, and you cannot tamper with that harmony and think that the best is going to happen because it's not, because when the planetary alignments are dysfunctional, the miscombobulation effect begins to affect every element in that domain, in that region, and everything is coerced and everything is affected by it. So this is why we understand, like you said, people don't understand. They try to reverse the very ethics of what God established. When you do that, that's why this society is in utter chaos, because it is reverse the polarity of what God said, making human beings. God is the creator of life. You want to create a synthetic individual, you are trying to play God, and nothing is going to happen but destruction, and those spirits are going to be released upon the earth. And the 12th verse says, I know that there is no good in them, but for a man to rejoice and to do good in his life. He's saying, with all these things appearing in evidence, he said, I know that there is futile. They're not going to produce anything good. The only thing good that man can do, because you can't impress God. He said, all of our righteousnesses are filthy rags. So what does that indicate to us? It indicates to us the fact and the reason that when we live and we're blessed by him, and we bless others and we do good to others as what God has commanded unto us. This is how he is glorified, how his word is strengthened. That's right, how his presence is made apt and proactive within the kingdom of men. He says, I know also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God. It's okay when you say, you know, so I'm going to treat myself. Somebody is just not going to get paid. I mean, you pay later. I'm going to eat well. I'm going to treat my friends. I'm going to treat my parents. I'm going to do something different for somebody else because God has blessed me. Let me share my blessings. Let me tell you something. When you share the blessings of God, those blessings will multiply exceedingly. Divine favor will follow you. You don't have to follow signs and wonders. Signs and wonders will follow you. And this is the gift of God. God wants us to enjoy life. He doesn't want us broke as a joke. You know, you need a penny